All aboard for this week's edition of the Harpoon. A magazine for young and old across the English-speaking world, with six color plates and numerous black and white illustrations. Price 7 pence halfpenny net and available throughout the empire. All rights reserved.
Our editor chats.
Hip hip, everyone, and welcome back to the new print run of the Harpoon. Now, it's come to my attention that not a few of you imagine that this isn't a magazine at all, but a wireless program. Ha! What a preposterous idea. What's the matter with you? Haven't you got eyes? Look! There! See? Does that sound like radio waves to you? They're pages! Pages! Yes. Now then, a miserable response to our Adopt a Tsetse Fly campaign. Out of 500 orphans, only one has found a home. So, cheerio, Tsetse Flies! Better news about our legal campaign. If you recall, the Harpoon is involved in a major court case at present, and we appeal to you to send in whatever you could in support of your favourite journal. And many thanks to those of you that did. A few more quid and that parking fine should be yesterday's news. Well, enjoy the issue, won't ya? And hip hip! No, I don't want to be your father.
Baffling, but bona fide. Fascinating facts at the foot of the page.
Did you know that the trilby got its name from its parents, who were originally going to call it Stephen, until they realized there was already a hat next door called that?
Harpoon Bible Corner.
Hello. Do you remember St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians and the Colossians? Well, he wrote some other letters as well. Letters that never actually found their way into the Bible. Shall we take a look at them?
1. St. Paul's first letter to Dolphin Bathrooms Limited.
Dear Dolphin Bathrooms, yes, please rush me details of your completely fitted new Dolphin bathroom. I understand that this will include shower system, choice of 5 colors and all plastering and tiling, plus your free design and planning service. Once installed, I understand that if I am not completely satisfied with my Dolphin bathroom, I may return it unused within 30 days.
St. Paul's desire for a new bathroom perhaps mirrors our own yearning for the cleansing waters of spiritual renewal. And if such renewal can come in the form of a multi-nozzled, fully automated shower unit with choice of 6 flow levels, then good.
Kids, are you bored with sitting at home playing Shove Halfpenny and wishing the next war would start? Well, why not get Mother to rush out and buy you a high-technology radio game system? Simply plug our ingenious new machine into your wireless and lose yourself in 3 exhilarating new adventure games. 1. Did you hear that bit of interference? 2. There goes another crackle. And 3. Isn't the wireless looking brown today? Also now available, our very latest handheld game, An Orange. Can you fight your way to the segments, past the invisible Peel world, and into the kingdom of juice? Probably. Alberta Sega. Box 1.
Whole for sale. Currently situated in the middle of an Ipswich garden, but I'm prepared to deliver for the right price. Also available, small gap and brick wall. Box 4.
Hello, everybody. Thornton here.
Mr. Thornton Labrador, president of the Labrador College of Personal Development, gives an illustrated talk on body language and conversational etiquette with demonstrations in silhouetted figs by his secretary, Gregory.
Hello. Did you know that our bodies have a secret language all of their own? I know mine has. Yes, the way we move and posture ourselves can speak volumes. For instance, if I sit back, like this, with my hands clasped together and my thumbs pointed upwards, what am I saying? Well, I'm secretly asking you for a cheese football. But if I tilt my thumbs slightly to the left, then I'm admiring your wife's ankles. So beware. For the novitiate student, the whole realm of body language can be fraught with ambiguities.
Fig 1.
Gregory signalling that he's admiring his boss's wife's ankles in the mistaken belief that he's intimating his desire for a cheese football.
Oh! Now, the most important use of body language is, of course, at the job interview. How does one best convey that all-important first impression?
Fig 2. Gregory using the wrong body language whilst being interviewed for the post of chartered auditor.
Ah, do sit down, Mr. Simpson.
Yes. Now, did anyone spot Gregory's mistake? That's right. His decision to insert his tongue into his future boss's mouth was a gesture, I'm sure you'll agree, not likely to result in the phrase, "Welcome aboard, Gregors. Glad to have you with us." Gregory was assuming a degree of familiarity that, quite frankly, just wasn't there. Now, body language can vary widely from region to region. In the South Seas, it is considered customary, when approaching the king, to strike him softly between the eyes with a kumquat.
Forchetto yim clam!
Ah!
But imagine if we were to emulate such a practice in front of our monarch.
Oh. Fig 3. Gregory throwing a kumquat at His Majesty the King.
Mr. Gregory Simpson.
Your Majesty.
Guards!
Now, the most frequent request I get is this. A friend has asked me to look after their dog for a week. Whilst in my care, it has been crushed to death by a dust cart. How best do I break the news? Oh, no, I hear you cry. Not that old chestnut. Well, as ever, there are several ways of going about it.
Fig 4, the wrong way.
Funny colour, aren't they, Mrs. Howlett? Dog's livers.
Oh. Fig 5, the right way.
Fancy a game, Mrs. Howlett?
Oh, yes.
I know. Let's play Guess Which Dog These Ears Come From, eh?
Oh.
Finally, etiquette in church. You're at a funeral of a distant relative. During the service, you learn from the paper that the deceased has left you their entire estate. So how do you react?
Fig 6, the wrong way.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Yes! Here we go, here we go, here we go. On with the body, on
Next week, I'll be addressing the prickly topic of what to do if you find yourself dribbling in front of a marquis. Also, your grocer keeps showing you his wrist. What is he trying to say? Until then, goodbye.
Bible Corner with more letters from St. Paul.
Paul's second letter to Dolphin Bathrooms Limited.
Dear Dolphin Bathrooms, it is now 3 weeks since I requested details of your deluxe fitted bathroom suite and shower system with choice of flow levels. As yet, I have heard nothing. Any further delay and I might just take a look into your tax affairs, if you understand my meaning.
St. Paul is experiencing that sense of agonizing delay that we all experience whenever we've ordered a Dolphin bathroom and they haven't replied after 3 weeks, and we are St. Paul. His torment speaks for all of us, in the sense that he doesn't, actually.
Harpoon Sewing Corner with Auntie Breakspear, treasurer of the Carshalton Sewing League and vice president of the Forward with Hitler campaign.
Hello. This week, I've been asked to talk to you about the use of cross-stitching in the making of baby clothes, a much-requested topic from readers the length and breadth of these islands. These wonderful, wonderful islands. In the making of baby clothes, the simplest and quickest stitching methods are, of course, the most desirable. New clothes are needed on a regular basis, for baby is quick to outgrow last month's apparel. Much, I suppose, like a new nation, struggling to throw off the shackles of the past and rising like a phoenix out of the ashes of its own history into the sunlit glory of a new era. Or something. Let us then first look at the cardigan, a simple article of clothing, the better examples of which are naturally made from pure English wool. Pure, do you hear? Pure. Untainted by any foreign influence. Anglo-Saxon wool, noble wool, Wool destined to establish a reich of its own. Wool that, if opposed in its political ambitions, will not hesitate to crush all who stand against it. Wool that acknowledges that its supreme leader, the one and only...
Miss Breakspear?
Adolf Hitler! Yes?
PC Poon of the Harpoon District and Stebbery, ma'am. This is the third time you try to slip in extreme right-wing propaganda in your sewing column, and I have to warn you that...
But, Constable, I was merely discussing the role of the drop stitch.
Don't give me that, ma'am. You're one of the leading figures in the world of fascism stroke sewing. You've had your chance. Now, come on. Come on. Come quietly.
Zeke! Heil!
Come quietly, ma'am.
Hat for sale. Small, brown, and made of corduroy. Must sell as owner moving abroad. Box 28.
Surname mislaid on the 5:28 express from London to Derby. The name Wilmot, believed to have been left in a black bag in carriage 3 next to the buffet car. Owner much distressed, unable to sign checks. If found, please return in envelope to Miss Evangeline... The Wiltings, Cobham.
Three cheers for Swanky Beaumont. A gripping story of racing cars, skullduggery, lots of people saying, come on, chaps, and cheese.
By Leotard Venice, author of An Admittedly Short Guide to My Right Cheek and The Brick That Might Have Wept If It Had Been an Old Sad Granny.
Brooklyn's racetrack, home of the notorious Wall of Death, where many an ambitious Johnny driver has come a cropper.
And the checkered flag sees right and rougher across the line in his Silverbird GTI, beating young Swanky Beaumont into second place. Rutter, taller than Beaumont and with a mean face, is therefore the villain, and he'll probably crash soon. Beaumont's got a round, kind face, a tuft of blonde hair, a poor father, and a cheery cockney engineer called Biggins, with oil on his face, who's always smiling.
I say, bad luck, Beaumont. You're my rival, aren't you? We knew each other at school, and you were my fag, and you hate me.
Yes, and you never won this race, Rutter. You cheated.
What makes you say that?
The fact that you're driving a plane.
I don't know what you mean. This is the new winged jet car. True, it can take passengers to France sometimes, and we don't have to go completely overland, and yes, all right, we serve dinners on board in small trays with compartments, but it's definitely a car.
You fiend, you're a bad egg. I'm the good one.
Who cares? Not me. Let's hope I don't sneak into your garage in the moonlight tonight and sabotage your car before the big race around the Wall of Death on Saturday. Eh, Swanky?
I wonder. Ah, Biggin.
Watch your gaff. Yeah, you look as though you lost a pound note and found sixpence. Not the end of the world, you know. There's always Saturday.
No, it's all right, Biggins. It's just that...
What, Swanky?
Oh, nothing.
No, go on, Gov. What were you thinking?
No, it's all right, Biggins. I wasn't thinking anything.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Ooh, I beg to differ, Gov.
Shut up, Biggins.
Cor, I hate that. When someone says something and you ask them what, and they just goes and says nothing, simply to add suspense to the plot. Fear drives me to distraction.
Look, cut it, will you, Biggins?
Cut it? What do you mean, cut it? What were you running well thinking?
No, go to blazes, Biggins.
Bastard.
Here we are. A small piece of wire in the lock. Your uncle. Now then, to work. Methinks young Beaumont will have trouble circling the Wall of Death on Saturday after I've finished tinkering with his machine.
Here we are, Gov. Saturday morning, the big day.
Open the garage door, Biggins, and let's look at the car.
Good idea, because it's good to see the car, innit, before you drive it.
Biggins?
Yeah?
Just open the door, will you?
Yes, Gov. What's the car? It's been replaced by a piece of cheese.
Oh, no, not that old trick. Mind you, I suspected as much at the training session yesterday.
Why? What happened, Gov?
Well, instead of getting up to 90 on Cooper's Corner and doing lap 3 in under 4 minutes...
Yes?
The car just stayed in the garage and smelt a bit.
Well, the race begins in an hour. Gov, what are we going to do?
I don't... Wait a minute. That pile of old junk over there in the corner.
Well, you mean that small heap of spanners and a mattress, Gov?
Reckon you can whip it into a decent 1,000cc roadster in under 20 minutes?
The bees make honey, Gov.
That's my Biggins.
It's crazy, but it just might work. Why, it's Solly Hal all over again, eh, Swanky?
You're telling me, Biggins.
And they're at line-up for the Wall of Death. Everyone except Swanky Beaumont. Where is he? The crowd is chanting for him.
Swanky! Swanky! Swanky!
If he doesn't appear soon, he'll be scratched from the race. And hang on, I can see a close-up of Royston Rutter laughing for some reason. The flag's about to go up and still no sign of Beaumont. But wait, what's this? It's Beaumont! He's coming onto the track, carrying an old mattress and a few spoons. What a strange and rather sad thing for a person to do.
Good luck, Gav. Best I could do in the time, Gav.
And so Swanky Beaumont lost the race. Because, quite frankly, it's a bit much to expect him to win it on an old mattress and a few spoons. The crowd sort of stared at him in a puzzled fashion and looked at their shoes or blew their noses. As for Swanky, he went a bit strange.
What's the matter with you? What are you all staring at? Sure, it's an old mattress and a few spoons. It's not a crime. It's the best I could do, all right? All right!
Cool it, Swanky.
Go on, laugh. You'll be chuckling on the other side of your faces when this mattress does 85 round Cooper's Corner!
And so the story of Swanky Beaumont and his quite spectacular and embarrassing failure to win at Brooklands passed into folklore. But had he, by some strange means not known to us, actually managed to win the race, I'm sure everyone present would have given 3 cheers for Swanky Beaumont.
Never mind, Swanky.
We'll always have Solly Owl.
Yeah?
Baffling but bona fide. Fascinating facts at the foot of the page.
Did you know that if you'd just eaten a meal in Borneo, it would be considered a compliment to turn to your host, open your mouth, and say what a delicious meal you've just had?
Bible Corner with Uncle Christ. More letters from St. Paul.
St. Paul's 10th letter to Dolphin Bathrooms Limited.
Look, what's going on? Where is my bathroom, you bunch of cowboys? Yours sincerely, St. Paul.
He really wants this bathroom, doesn't he?
Notable incidents of the spontaneous combustion of flamingos in Parliament.
An historical series by Francis, the person consommé.
Number 1. The spontaneous combustion of a flamingo in Parliament in 1781. Yes. Sit down. Here the series ends. If any readers know of any further incidents of pink birds with long legs and curved beaks blowing up unexpectedly in legislative chambers in Europe and indeed the Americas, but not Asia, please let us know and we'll have a drink and talk about it. Because it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Larry, how marvellous to see you.
Hello. Isn't it?
That's right. How are you?
Oh, good. And how's the thing?
Have you ever bumped into somebody whose name has completely slipped your mind? Well, prevent this oh-so-embarrassing situation with the Instant Memory Machine. Every time you meet a new person, this ingenious device will make them instantly recognizable in all future encounters. For details, write to Instant Memory, formerly Wagstaff's Cattle Branding Equipment Limited, to The Shavings, Pontefract.
Is that Trudy with an I-E at the end, or a Y?
I-E.
I-E. Right. Hold still.
Not a spray.
Harpoon Crime Corner. Helping to get crime off the streets and keep it indoors. In the cupboard under the stairs, perhaps, or in a strong jar. With Inspector Moffat.
Hello there. Bit of a bad week vis-a-vis the old crime rate. 3 cases of pickpocketing, 2 house breaks, and a breach of the peace. In London alone. We're going crime crazy. Anyway, to kick off a particularly ruthless swearing incident in the Empire Tea Rooms, Wolverton Street, Leicester, last Wednesday. As ever, here are some illustrations depicting the crime, and let's hope some of them will jog your memory.
Morning, sir. Cup of tea?
Aye, get off, you booger.
And let's hear that again, shall we?
Yeah, booger.
And again?
Yeah, booger.
Ring any bells? Were you in the Empire Tea Rooms last Wednesday? Were you the person who swore at old Mrs. Fawcett? Were you Mrs. Fawcett? Were you Mrs. Fawcett's cousin who sometimes comes up to stay from Neath but who didn't that week because of her bad tongue? And who's nothing whatsoever to do with the crime, but she's my girlfriend and I'd quite like to see her. Please try to remember. Every little helps. Every big thing helps as well. Like you being the criminal and coming up to us and saying, hello, I am the criminal. Well, I know what you've heard tonight has been pretty gruesome, but don't have nightmares. Just remember, life can often be worse. I mean, have you read about some of the tortures they got up to in the Middle Ages? Blimey, and that actually happened. Goodbye.
20. Person with eyes on the side of their face, twisted mouth, and nose where their chin should be. For interesting modelling work, apply P. Picasso, box 2.
Old clothes for sale. Vests, pants and socks. Also some skin. Apply G. Sudbury, funeral directors, Tunbridge.
Bible Corner with Uncle Christ.
St. Paul's 18th letter to Dolphin Bathrooms Limited.
Where is it? Where is it?
Where is it?
He's angry.
Harpoon back pages.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Yes, and last of all this week, as ever, the Harpooners Club. A big fish basket full of things that aren't fish, but games, puzzles, teasers, pranks, posers, and small metal objects that for the life of me I can't eat. And, first off,
Henry's Hidden Things.
Our artist, Henry, has drawn a wonderful scene opposite of the coronation of Edward VII. But cunningly concealed in the picture are several members of the South East District Water Authority. How many can you spot?
And the future king approaches the throne now, robed in the garments of state, flanked by the two bishops of London and Norwich.
Would you like a water bee to put in?
His crown atop the noble head, as the choirs on either side of the chancellery commence the coronation te deum.
You could always go on the staggered rating system, you know. We have budget facilities to suit all pockets.
Met at the altar by the Archbishop of Canterbury, who will read the ecclesiastical confirmation of the new monarch's stewardship over the Church of England.
If there's one thing you can trust in life, it's a good drain.
Well, how'd you get on? I got 4. That it? I got 4. 4. Ha! Next up, the results of last week's competition. Now, you'll remember the first prize was 8 weeks' work experience at the printing presses of a magazine of our choice. And the magazine we've chosen is... The Harpoon! Well, well, well. And let me see, there are 50 joint winners this week, all of whom I'm sure will benefit no end from the valuable experience of working round the clock, free of charge, on the shop floor of one of the country's greatest journals. Because we certainly will. Next up, humour in the air. Wacky airborne funsters Captain Moustache and his rear gunner Charlie treat us to another comical caper as they fly 10,000 feet above the channel.
We're Captain Moustache and Charlie McBride. You'll be laughing till you clutch your sides.
I say, Charlie.
What's that, Skip?
What did the wet say when she was auditioning for Ensa?
Pardon?
I said, what did the wet say when she was auditioning for Ensa?
A bit louder, Skip.
The wet.
Eh?
Wet.
Nearly had it.
The wet. What did she say when she auditioned for Ensa?
What?
Ensa.
I don't know. What did the... say when it... something... the thing, Skip?
She said, how can I... good walk, sing, short run.
Wonderful.
Bye, everyone.
Yes. Well, I think we'll have a cartoon next week, eh? And finally, more answers to readers' queries. En spont, Whipsnade. Step backwards, very slowly, trying not to startle him in any way. Although very big and dangerous, the lion is as much afraid of you as vice versa. Although the fact that you fell into his cage at feeding time with several large stakes taped to your chest and lower limbs may quell his fear somewhat. So good luck, and if he does decide to attack, don't go down without a fight. There's a lad. Elwisp, Torbay, just gone 4:15. Algy Tinsel, Rotherham, calm down, Algy. It isn't your fault. The last dinosaurs died out more than 83 million years ago, so I doubt whether your forgetting to leave out a glass of milk for them last Tuesday evening would have had any effect whatsoever. Stop worrying. Captain Blanty, HMS Sea Lion, somewhere between Holborn and Covent Garden on the Piccadilly Line, London Underground. Good Lord. Well, I've heard of ships running aground, but this is ridiculous. I suggest you head for Leicester Square, where you may find a wider staircase to ground level. Though whether it'll take a 7,000-ton naval frigate with full complement of crew is debatable. President W. Wilson, United States of America, the expression White House means the large complex of government buildings on Capitol Hill in Washington, and not just any house which happens to be white. Stop running the affairs of your nation from a small wooden bungalow in Arizona. It's both impractical and extremely unfair on the old lady who lives there. And finally, Miss Elsie Rod, Kilmarnockshire, brackets embarrassed, close brackets. Thank you for your interesting set of self-portraits, Elsie, in their plain brown wrapper. But this really isn't the sort of thing that the Harpoon is in the business of publishing. Try a publication in Denmark or Sweden in, say, about 50 years' time. In the meantime, I'll keep these on file. Well, that's all from your old chum for another week. Oh, all right. I admit it. Sentimental old fool that I am, I took pity on little crippled Sid, a lame tetsy fly on six crutches whose parents abandoned him at birth. Now I can't get rid of the bugger. Well, that's all, readers. This is your old chum switching off his desk lamp, picking up his cane, putting on an ill-fitting tetsy fly costume. Go on, get him in pocket and shut up. Then saying Imperatus, Foundationis, Blubberum, hip hip!
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Oh, come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Susie Brann, Alistair McGowan, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Everything's coming my way. Who's been polishing the sun? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Baffling, but bona fide.
Did you know that a rock can lie at the bottom of the ocean for more than 1,000 years without coming up for air?